We ought to be grateful to God who gives us the air that we breathe, has provided for this opportunity that we might be together, and we're glad you're here. We have visitors among us. We thank you for coming. Hope that you'll make arrangements to come with us again and again. It's recorded in the book of Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It's a sad state of affairs when there's no planning. It's been said if we aim at nothing, we usually hit it. And so we need some goals to look forward to work toward. And I'd like to suggest some that you might like to try to put into practice in this new year. Let me suggest to us that one goal that would be good for all of us is for every member to be at every service of the church in 2015. And you're on a good track already, aren't you? You're here this morning, and we'd like to encourage you to make your plans to try to be at every service. We've been impressed through our Old Testament study that God's always made arrangements for His people to be together, hasn't He? And you think about those special times that God had for His people. Some were on a weekly basis, like the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Exodus 20 and verse 8. There were monthly times, like the beginning of the new moon. And you had annual observances, lots of times. If you'd been a Jew under the law, would you have been found keeping those times? As you come to the New Testament, God has expected His people to gather together to worship. That's one of the great privileges you and I have as people of God, to be able to worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. That involves us coming together. In Acts 2 and 46, the Bible says they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. In New Testament times, the disciples of Christ came together daily. If you'd been a Christian in the first century, would you have been found daily with one accord in the temple? And then in Acts chapter 4, we read where the Bible says in verse 31 about the place where they were assembled together. They had a place where they assembled together. And had you been a Christian at that time, would you have been found in that place? Matthew 6 and 33 finds itself in a place where folks were worried about how short or tall they were and what they were going to eat or drink. And the Lord said, do not take thought for such things, but seek first, that is, before everything else, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's a good principle that I need to adopt. To seek first the kingdom. It's easy to get sidetracked and to put the priority in other areas, and to put things before the Lord's church and the Lord's Word. But everything has a way of working out when I have my priorities in order, to put the church first in my life. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's easy to let other things get in the way and crowd the Lord out, isn't it? And I'd like to encourage you at the beginning of this new year to make it your goal to be at every service, to take part in these daily Bible readings, and to come together on Wednesday night and Sunday morning for Bible study. You'll be impressed with how much you will grow when you do that, what you'll learn. And to be present for worship on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. Unless you're so sick that you can't do anything else. It's a good principle, isn't it? At the beginning of a new year, every member at every service. But let me suggest to us another goal that we might like to work toward in this new year. And that is not just to have every member at every service, but for each one to win one. That is, to find one who needs to be brought to the Lord and to win him to the Lord. It said in the book of Proverbs 11 and in verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise. And so wise people are people who are interested in souls. And everybody has one. You've got a soul. And everybody you come into contact with has a soul. And I need to learn to look at people from that standpoint. We have a tendency sometimes to just look at the physical. But within them is a soul that's worth more than the whole world, that can be lost or can be saved. Matthew 16:26 finds the Lord asking, what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Or what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so the people that you work with, you go to school with, you live next door to, you meet in your daily walk of life, have a soul that is either going to spend an eternity in heaven or hell. And you may be the one to win that soul. Think about Andrew, for example, in John 1:40-42. He just found the truth in Christ. And the Bible says he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. Let's each one do that. And think what it would do for this church if each one would do that just in the course of a year. By this time next year, the church would have doubled in size if each one of us will find and win just one. You think about that. About 360 days to do that. Right? That's not beyond our reach, I don't believe. That's realistic. That you could find somebody and teach them the gospel and bring them to the Lord. Look at who this man became, who Andrew found and brought to Jesus. He became a disciple of Christ. He became one of the apostles. He preached the first recorded gospel sermon. And about 3,000 gladly received his word and were baptized. He was sent to Cornelius and his household and preached an outstanding sermon that resulted in the Gentiles finding salvation. He wrote two letters that make up the New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. And he was an elder, as he wrote in 1 Peter 5:1-2 to elders and said, who am also an elder. You know where all that started? When his brother found him and brought him to Jesus. Maybe you have a brother or a sister. Maybe you have some parents or children. Somebody in your family who needs to be found and brought to Christ. Why don't you work toward that? Set that as a goal this year. To find one and to win one. You might do more than that, but that's a good starting place, isn't it, for each of us in this new year. Make that a commitment. Make that a priority. I'd like to see us work on that. To ask for those Bible studies. Set those up. Think of somebody you know, maybe you've worked with. Maybe a next door neighbor. Look on the fields. They're white to harvest. And I'd be happy to help in whatever way I can. If you just set up the study, I'd be happy to come and teach it if you'd like me to do that. And we can go through some basic Bible lessons that'll be helpful in bringing a truth seeker to Jesus. Each one win one. But another goal that I'd like to encourage us to adopt and put into practice this year, and that is to be given to hospitality. In New Testament times, brethren were at home with each other. They were often in each other's homes. Let me give you a good example of that. So I say, how do you know that? Well, Acts 2 and verse 46 talks about breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And so, in New Testament times, Christians were in each other's homes. There's value in that. How about opening up your home for such an occasion? In the book of Romans chapter 12 and in verse 15, Paul said, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know what that follows? It follows that statement in verse 13, given to hospitality. You know, one thing that helps us to weep with the weeping and rejoice with the rejoicing is by being together. I don't know of anything that helps us to know each other any better than just by being together, spending time with each other. And those words, given to hospitality, ought to be words that describe each one of us, each family here, that we're given to hospitality. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, in verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That word hospitality literally means love of strangers. And the Hebrew writer said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unawares or unknowingly. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. You might think of examples in the Old Testament where angels were entertained, like the story of Abraham and Lot. They practiced that love of strangers or hospitality. And one of the finest examples is that of Abraham in Genesis 18. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent and bowed himself toward the ground in verse 2. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, and I pray you be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under a tree. And I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Would you have done that if you'd been Abraham? If these strangers appeared at your door, would you have gone out to the herd and fetched a calf? Would you have talked to your wife about making ready quickly this fine meal? You wouldn't have to go out to a herd probably today. You wouldn't have to churn butter, would you, to do the things that they had to do. But they did that because of their hospitality. And the Bible talks about the need to do that today, and especially to those of the household of faith. And so I'd like to encourage each one of us to be given to hospitality. That's one of the qualifications of elders, by the way, isn't it? To be given to hospitality. You might like to set it as a personal goal to have each family of the church in your home in this year, sometime throughout the course of this year, to try to have some family over into your home from the church. What about doing that? To let them know that you're thankful for them and interested in them out of care and concern. You might like to have the brethren in your home for some kind of a gathering. You might say, well, I don't know if we have enough room. Or, you know, it's easy sometimes to make excuses, isn't it, for this or that. I've been in places in other countries, like in Chile and in the Philippines, where there are brethren that have houses much smaller than houses that we have here, and to have more people in. And it's amazing sometimes what people that don't have as much, how much they do. And sometimes that we have so much, and we don't do as much as brethren in some places. And I reckon if folks in the first century who were given to hospitality, who were in each other's homes, as Acts 2 and verse 46 records, they could have probably found excuses for not doing that, couldn't they? They could have said, well, we don't have enough room, or we're busy, we got this to do or that to do. And, you know, I got to do some cleaning. And they could have said all that too, couldn't they? But they didn't. And so let's be given to hospitality. And I believe you'll find that that'll help the church to grow, won't it? But let me suggest to us another goal that we might like to think about for this new year in 2015. And that is to do some daily scripture searching. You know, Jesus said, search the scriptures. And those in Berea did that. In Acts chapter 17 and then verse 11. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They were investigating whether or not the things that Paul was preaching were the truth. If they needed to do that then, how much more do you and I need to do that today? You'd be amazed at how much you'll grow and how much you'll know if you'll take time to read this book every day. At the beginning of a new year, it's a good time to adopt a daily reading schedule. We've got calendars that have some readings that we can do each day. And you might like to do that. Might like to do some other reading. Take a book, like the book of Ephesians. Sit down and read that. Find out what Paul had to say to this church. And look at ways that it can help me today to be the kind of child that God expects me to be. To learn how to walk so as to please God. Daily scripture searching. It helps me to know. You know, one reason some people don't know very much about this book is because they don't read it very much. It's hard to know something if I don't read it. You go to school and the teacher wants you to know what's in that history book. You have to read it, don't you? They want you to learn something about science. You got to get your science book out and read it. They give you some reading assignments. How am I going to know what's in this book, the greatest book of all, if I don't spend time reading it? The Lord said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8 and verse 32. There's great value in knowing the Word of God. It'll make you free. It'll do for you what other books cannot do. It'll make you wise unto salvation. Not only will it help you to know, but it'll help you to grow. In 2 Peter 3 and 18, Peter said, "But grow." You can't grow without food. If you go without eating, what you're going to do is get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker until you eventually die. Die of starvation. And that's true spiritually. If we go without feeding on the Word, as Peter said, "Newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby," 1 Peter 2:2, we're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker until we eventually die. And there's some who are just starving themselves to death because they've not been feeding. They've not been eating. Taking advantage of that milk and meat of the Word. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they may be filled." You know, the opposite of growth is becoming weaker and weaker and then ultimately dying. And so we're either growing or we're going the opposite way. There's really no just staying where I am. I've got to grow or I'm going to backslide. And so let me encourage us to do some daily scripture searching that we might feed upon the Word in this new year. The fifth goal that we might like to have for 2015 is to pray always. How about worrying less and praying more in this new year? It's easy to worry, isn't it? Are you a worrywart? It's easy to get anxious about things. And Paul wrote about that in Philippians 4 and 6. He said, "Be careful for nothing." That is, don't be so anxious. Don't worry. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And so worry less and pray more. The Lord spoke a parable to this end, Luke 18:1, that men ought always to pray. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, "Pray without ceasing." That is, don't stop praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Daniel's a good example of that, isn't it? When he was told not to pray, and the consequences of what would happen if you prayed, he didn't change his prayer habits. He went into his room, and with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees, and three times a day he prayed to God. Three times. The psalmist said, "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray." That's a good attitude, a good motto, isn't it? Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. We ought to pray daily. The model prayer teaches daily prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We have so much to thank God for, and that's one of the elements of prayer, to thank God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. And we can offer our supplication to Him. We can intercede to pray for our brethren. It's a good practice to mention each brother or sister by name in prayer unto God. And surely, when you think of a brother or his or her name may come to mind, there's something that you could pray to God for on their behalf. To thank God for your brethren and to pray that things will be well with them We've done that already together, collectively this morning, in praying for those that are not here, praying for one another. But to pray always. Isn't that what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 when he talked about taking unto you the whole armor of God? He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so a good goal for us is to pray always. Then one more that we'll work on, and that is to be heaven bound. We sing about heaven, the home of the soul. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven. I'm bound for that beautiful city. And we read about it, how that our hope is laid up in heaven. We have a beautiful description of heaven in the book of Revelation, the final book of the Bible. When in Revelation 21, John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In Revelation 21, and then verse 2. And then verse 4, he said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven is the home of those who do His commandments. For in chapter 22 and verse 14, John said, Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Not everybody is going to heaven. Those who do His commandments. And so let's make it our goal to be heaven bound, that we're going to go to heaven. We're going to live in such a way as to hear the Lord say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Six goals for us for 2015. Every member at every service. Let's work toward that. Let's work toward being able to check these off. Each one win one. I want to challenge you to find somebody that you know who needs the gospel. And let's work together to bring them to the Lord. Think about the difference it'll make in their life. Be given to hospitality. Do some daily scripture searching in 2015. Pray always. And make it your priority to go to heaven. Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14, 1 through 3. And we prepare for that by hearing the Lord's word, and you've done that. By believing it with all of our heart. Do you believe? Are you willing to repent? To make some changes in your life? To quit doing those things that are contrary to God's word and to live right in His sight? Would you be willing to confess your faith in the Son of God today? To come and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. That's how you become a Christian. And I don't know of any better way that you could start off this new year than by being a Christian, a child of God. And all things are made ready that you might enjoy all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've become a Christian, but you've not been heaven bound. You've gotten sidetracked. You've taken your eyes off the prize. Maybe you've been involved in some things that the Lord does not approve of. There's things that you've not been doing that you need to be. We'd like to encourage you to make your life right with God. Repent of that. Turn from it. Turn to God with all of your heart. Repent. Make confession unto God in prayer. Ask for His forgiveness. We're happy to pray with you and for you. As the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's no better time than the present. There's no time like right now. It's the only time we really have. Some may have intentions. Oh, one of these days. But we have no guarantee that we'll live to see the sun come up tomorrow. Remember the rich man, the rich fool, who said he had plans for many years and he didn't live through the night. And if our soul should be required of us this night, where would we spend eternity? There's no need for anybody to leave this assembly unprepared to meet God. What will your answer be? Someday we'll stand at the bar on high. What will your answer be? As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.